Blog Talk Radio.
Though you're blinded by tears and consumed by your fears, and your daytime has turned to night, you may be unaware, but there's someone who cares, and he's leading you. Times when you feel that you're all by yourself, like an island on the sea. But that's the enemy's way of making you doubt, 'cause God promised he never.
Good afternoon and welcome. Thank you for tuning in today. You're listening to Victory Against All Odds on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Evangelist Benson. Today is November the 28th, 2011. We are never alone. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. For my first-time listeners, Victory Against All Odds is a radio talk show for families where we talk about some of the struggles and obstacles that families face as it relates to issues of child abuse, depression, domestic violence, substance abuse, suicide, and sexual abuse. So let's talk. My email address is odds_against_U@yahoo.com. Please email me and I'll respond. The chat room is open. If you have questions, please type. Don't be afraid. I do have at least one person in the chat room. Thank you for tuning in today. I appreciate your support. Don't be afraid to ask questions or voice your concern. Hope everyone again had a wonderful Thanksgiving. It is a great day to be alive. Sometimes we just must be thankful of the small things that come in our lives. Amen. Okay, I'm excited today. I'm excited. I will say that I was supposed to have our special guest, Mr. Larry, today, but we will have to reschedule Mr. Larry for another time. So today I do have a special guest, Dr. Lauren Du. Before we get to Dr. Du, I wanted to just kind of give a little introduction just for those who may not understand or know, and just for clarity, I wanted to just set the tone, the atmosphere. We're going to talk about incest. We've talked about this in the past. But for those who are just tuning in, we're going to talk about what this is. Incest is a little different than just what we consider to be sexual abuse. It's a little bit more detailed. Incest is a sexual activity ranging from fondling to intercourse between family members who aren't married to one another. State laws vary depending on the type of sexual activity and also on what constitutes the type of kinship that indicates incest rather than just sexual abuse. So it's a little bit more in depth, which is why we want to talk about it. Some definitions include teachers, neighbors, stepfamilies, babysitters, ministers, priests, and others who are in the circle of influence of a child and have established an emotional bond. That is why it's so hard to get substantial statistics, because referring to the same thing by different names and different things by the same name often creates confusion, which is why we want clarity. Incest has been cited as the most common form of child abuse, and yet it is extremely, extremely underreported. This type of abuse and betrayal of trust has the most potential for psychological and emotional harm to children. Incest has been called a violation of the child where he or she lives by a person who has trust and authority over them. A child molested by a stranger can at least run home for help and comfort, but guess what? Listeners, a victim of incest cannot. It is just so different than being able to go home to a house of refuge when the abuse is taking root and taking place right there and under your roof, right in the same house. So that brings me to today. I give a special thanks and a special appreciation for my special guest in the studio this afternoon, Dr. Lauren Du. Dr. Lauren Du is an award-winning author. He's an activist. He's a public innovator, a devoted educator, and a successful businessman who guides community engagement campaigns on communicating values and practical teachings of hope, faith, and family. Now, listening to all of that, you would not suspect that Dr. Du is also a survivor of childhood incest and rape. Please join me as we listen to Dr. Du as he joins me and tells his story of beating the odds to walking in victory. Good afternoon and welcome to Victory Against All Odds. Dr. Du, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. How are you, Evangelist Benton? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. I can hear you. I'll turn my volume up.
Okay.
I think you might turn yours up too. Okay.
There we go. Is that better?
Yes. Yes, it is. thank you for joining me, and thank you for being able to step in. I have to reschedule my previous guest, but that's okay. Things like that does happen from time to time, and we will keep him listed in prayer, and we will get with him at some other time when he is available. Thank you for being available.
My pleasure. Just glad to be asked, and anywhere I can help in this fight and this cause to eradicate this kind of oppression and depression and abuse in the land.
Yes. I have a few questions just to kind of get us started. And I wanted to ask you, about what age did you realize that something wasn't quite right?
You know, I never really did in terms of as a young person. I really thought this was how people lived. I never got it till I became really an adult. As a child, because of what happened at such a young age and how it continued, I just thought this was how families were. And what really made it even seem right was when I kept encountering other children, that other young people that wanted to have sex and get involved. And that's how I became promiscuous. So they said, well, this is what goes on in families. And I just never got it until I became an adult. And that is, you know, I know that's why we got the title of the book, Stolen Innocence, because I never really knew what was going on. I mean, I didn't have a clue. And I think I know, actually, that being a naive person came from all of that experience and challenges that I had as a child.
Wow. So how old were you when this started?
You know, I'm suspecting the age was somewhere between 4, 5, 6, 7, somewhere in there when I was started going to work with my dad, and somewhere in that time period, because of how we lived in a little shack, and I was about 5 when we finally got in the shack, 2-bedroom shack, 1 room for my mother and father, and then my brother and sister and I had a room we shared. It was young.
Hello?
It was. Can you hear me? It was a young age and a time when, basically, because the focus of our family was always in church, and it's kind of strange. But now, as I look back now, I understand why. We were always going to church, and for a period, we lived right across the parking lot from the church when I was a baby, actually, a real young kid, and we could walk out our door to the church that we were attending at that time. And then eventually, we actually lived over the church when I grew up as a teenager. We actually lived above the church.
Wow.
This is a different church, but, you know, it's always church. And, that was the exposure I had. And it was a time, you know, when, if you think about it, when you're going to church 4 or 5 times a week, sometimes every night, if not to the church you go to some other church or some activity, it just seems that was all it was. And yet, there was all these other things going on.
Wow. So, do you remember details of some of the? I mean, for my listening audience, what kind of details are you willing to share in terms of the kinds of things that took place?
Oh, yeah, I go into great detail. I go into great detail in my book. And so I don't know if you want, it's very graphic. I mean, we're talking graphic. we're talking, the Lord allowed me to remember all of these things and to bring it back, because I had so many repressed memories as a young person. And then as the Lord brought healing, and healing is still going on, and that's something people have to understand. You don't just get healed and it's all over, but it's a process of actual life, and it's a way of living your life, either in a positive way or a negative way. And because of Him bringing the healing to me, I've chosen to live it in a positive way, meaning overcoming and a victor, rather than living as a victim. So many people still are as a victim. And, you know, I really wish you had had a book in your hand, because you would, I don't think you have a book, you would understand how graphic this is. But I don't mind reading something to you. I put some things on my Facebook. I'm a member of the e-book.
If you could just share that part right there that you put on Facebook that I was reading this morning, if you could just share that little bit.
Well, I'll see if I can even find it, because I have so many. I just picked up an excerpt. They asked me to just put different excerpts. Here's one. And you have to understand that basically I was raped, I was molested, I was fondled, I was treated as a sex object, as a toy.
Mm-hmm.
They said, I remember that all this whispering that went on in our family.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I really have to say now early on, so that people understand, they always ask, well, where was your mother when all this was going on? And my mother was working 3 jobs, basically. And that's what kept us going, kept us with a place to live, kept us with food and little food that we had. So she was always on the go, and my dad worked odds and ends and different things. And he was always, somehow he always got a job in a women's clothing store. And I think that was also kind of interesting, that he'd be a janitor in many places all the time. But if you read, I'm trying to find something that's not too graphic, but yet graphic enough that you'll understand that this really, I don't spare anything. And the reason why I was led by the Holy Spirit, I believe, to write the book is graphic, because this book is not, it's not my memoir. It's not a memoir. It is actually a guide. And so as a guide, we put in here my testimony, my story, for this resource guide, so that people can see what I went through, how the Lord brought me out, and then what He's been doing with all of that as I live my life. So that's why this part. So the book is in 3 parts. It deals with my life in part 1. And then in part 2, the book deals with 9 stories of young black men who were incest, who were raped, who were molested by their fathers, their grandfathers, their pastors, you name it. And I have a section called Dewdrops. And in that section, I discuss wisdom that God's given me from all of my experience on their various life experiences. And then the final part, part 3, is a part that deals with wisdom and knowledge and just helpful things. The book, just so you know, is dedicated to black men all over this planet, incest, raped, molested, and sexually abused. And
wow. Awesome.
It says that right in the very front. So that's there, right up front. And the reason that I did it that way, in my research after writing my first book and doing all the research that I did, I found 5 books out of about 400 books that literally said that black people were not worth studying or doing research on. And it just galled me that they would have such audacity. But of course, as you know, we live in a very white world. And so they even said that we were like animals. And based on that behavior and based on that, that made me know that I had to, as I do my research, start to write with a direction, and at least this book, specifically to black men, since there are people that think we're animals. And we know that. We know that by their behavior. We know that by their action. And, of course, I asked as a when I'm teaching on my programs, you know, that's amazing that the Anglo or the white man and woman would think that, and yet on the plantation they were so busy having children by us having sex with all the black women. And it's like, so you have sex with animals, so that's what you believe in. You know, that's the question I ask. That's pretty bizarre.
Yes.
But that is what I take from their behavior and their attitude of seeing us. Matter of fact, on Wednesday I'm doing a program, Sex in the Mormon Church. I had promised this when I did the Sex in the Bible series, and the Lord blessed me to encounter something over the holidays that gives a history of sex in the Mormon Church going dating back to 1848 all the way to 1991. And I'm going to just read those excerpts all the way through as far as I can. I mean, there's one place in there where Brigham Young calls us inward. And I'm saying, it's amazing that they want us to be part of the church, and yet they think of us as the inward. I just think that is so amazing that these people can have such an attitude. Well, we're digressing. Let me just read here. I'm looking to find something. I hate it. I'm reading from page 2. See, the book starts out really, really. No, I think I'll read page 1. Let's just read the first paragraph, or part of the first paragraph. My name is Dr. Lauren C. Du, and I want to tell you my story. It's a story that may make you uncomfortable. You may even shake your head and ask how this can be true. It may prompt you to take a closer look at your own family. However, you may react to my story. Please understand that this book was written as a vessel of deliverance for the many black men who, like me, have kept a family secret like this locked deep inside for most of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
I pray that God will send black men to this book as an answer to their prayer for healing and understanding. I hope my story raises awareness of this behavior so a community has the courage to help all of our sons, husbands, brothers, and other family members get the support they need. I also hope this book will speak to the black community and let them know that this behavior is and has been a part of our culture for far too long.
Yes, it
has. Now, that's the first paragraph. That's the first paragraph in chapter 1. And let me find something else that will give you a sense of a sense of what this is about, so that you'll know. Okay, here's what I think you read on the web. I hated my father for years, but I didn't know why, because my memories were repressed. He would ask me to lie on my stomach, and then he'd pull my pants down. my father would put his fingers inside me and tell me he loved me, that I was special. I remember his fingers and how thick they were, how he wouldn't force them in because of his big hands. There were times when he would use lotion and other times he would use saliva. He would ease his index finger in first, then gently work in another up to the knuckle. To take my mind off of the pain, he would tell me he loved me and that I made him happy. He referred to it as diddling me and said it was our little secret.
That's the magic word, right?
He said our little game was just between us and that I shouldn't tell anyone. I wanted to make my daddy happy, so I look forward to our time together. Okay, that gives you a sense as we get into it, and it gets even more graphic.
So, Dr. Du, as time went on, I know you've kind of been listening to some of the tools that I have been given to listeners who have experienced whether it be child abuse, sexual abuse, or depression. I've given lots of tools to use to overcome, to aid them in just their recovery process. What kinds of tools did you use to survive as time went on? What kinds of things did you do to cope, to keep your sanity? Did you seek counseling? You know, what kinds of tools did you use to survive and to just kind of keep it together once you realize, you know, even going to school as a little boy, because there's this mental thing going on. As I can recall, I recall having a mental battle every day going to school, trying to keep the secret, you know, even though I knew I was miserable and something wasn't right. And I know you said, you know, you didn't really realize it until you were an adult. But because obviously what you just described is very painful, what did you do to cope with, you know, what did you do to cope with the pain and the agony and keeping the secret, if you will?
Well, basically, because I became so promiscuous in my behavior, that's where, as a young person, I started the direction all through elementary school. Like I said, I bonded with a kid up the hill that lived up the hill from us. He and I became child lovers. We had sex. Another girl that lived further up the hill, the three of us had sex. Everything just went to a sexual behavior. And throughout high school, junior high, I was depressed, didn't know why I was depressed, and trying ways to kill myself, wanting to die, just always wanted to die. I studied the piano, and I wonder if this helped. Well, my sister got me into studying the piano for like 20 years, from the age of 5 to 25. I studied classical piano, so that was, I think, another way that I kind of repressed things or put things aside. In high school, very, very suicidal. But I never could do any of those things because I also had been brainwashed that if as a Pentecostal child, if you commit suicide, you're going to hell. So
right.
I tried all kinds of things, but I never did really do anything really serious, even though I remember one time as an adult going down the freeway at 120 miles an hour, and God told me to move over just as I was about to run into this car. Something just move the car over. The Holy Spirit told me, but I know that it didn't happen. And then I went into alcoholism, and I can remember so drunk at times. I should have received a number of DUIs because I would get drunk. As I progressed with all of my behavior, became, the promiscuous person. Then I got into drugs. One of my bisexual girlfriends introduced me to acid. I went on acid trips it was drugs, it was the acid, it was marijuana. There was a time when I had all this different kinds of marijuana, 7 different kinds, I talk about that in the book, where I color-coded everything so that I knew the effect of the drug. And fortunate, I'm not sure, but for some people, when they use marijuana, it causes them not to be in a sexual arousal.
Yes.
Well,
right.
It's just the opposite for me. I became even more of an animal. And at one time, I had 7 women. I remember having orgies, putting them on through my. I'm just involved in so many different things. I had a professional dance troupe. I had a professional modeling troupe of young adults. I had a children's modeling company. And, all the models, I had a lot of beautiful women, black, white, all kind of women. And they knew, and they would get into the orgy. Some of them would, not all of them, just some that liked that. So it just was involved, and it just progressed more and more. Until finally there came this day when, and I was married, I should say this too, I got married at the age of 18, very young age. I got out of high school in June, and by July 31st, I was married.
Wow.
Stayed married for 24 years, but it was a marriage, as I look back, it was really just, I was just in marriage in name. Because the first 5 years of that marriage, I was faithful to my wife. And then when I got in college, everything broke loose. And when I went full-time, it was just one escapade after the other. And so in this whole time period, there came that day when... The Holy Spirit, just something, I just said, it's time. It's time. And at that point, when I heard that voice, I knew I had to come back. And then there was another day, even, when I had a son for that first marriage, and the Holy Spirit said, you will not do to your son what was done to you. And that, I believe, is what really started me remembering really what was happening. And that also was the time when I had a serious accident. I mean, serious. 4 cars ran into my car.
Wow.
And they ran in one at a time. They, a car had bammed, then another car would hit that car, and after that, I ended up having these recurring nightmares where every night I would dream about this bishop. And I couldn't take it. It was driving me crazy. And I finally went, someone said, well, go see a doctor, see a psychiatrist. So I go to the doctor and tell the doctor about this, and the doctor gives me a suggestion. And so within about, 4 or 5 weeks of seeing the doctor or less, it wasn't long, I went back to the cemetery because I didn't have closure with this person when they died.
Okay.
I went to their funeral, but I didn't go to the cemetery. So I fly down to where they're buried. I find their plot, go out to the plot, and from that day on, never had another recurring dream like that. But in the midst of it, I am giving all this core dump to the doctor. I also told her about all of what I was going through. As an animal, you know, basically married, basically just all the sex I was still into. And we just kept talking. And the more I talked, the more stuff started to really come back. It was like, oh, Lord, what a mess.
Wow.
So I got that first call from the Lord, then I got that second call from the Lord. And when I got that second call, by that time I had just, I knew it was time to get back on track and to get back into him. Very scary, very, because it's like, why am I living? How am I living? How am I even surviving, as you said?
Uh-huh.
And doing all the things that I was doing, you know, going to school, getting education, getting a degree, making money, running a business, just multitasking in so many areas. But I as I look back, I think it's just because I was running from who I was, running from myself.
Uh-huh. Well, it sounds like you did, okay, because what I picked up, and you know, I asked you, the question was in reference to tools you use. So it sounds like you did use some. I hear you said you went to the counseling center, and for resolve, it sounds like you went to the cemetery. I take it that at the cemetery you were able to do some closure there,
yeah,
or whatever it is that you needed to do. But you know, that's a tool, you know, in terms of resolving and just kind of emptying out, you know, whatever it is that you need to say to that person that has hurt you or harmed you. That you did it there at that cemetery. Dr. Du, and have you resolved anger?
Oh, yeah. What happened, now the cemetery thing was this bishop who, he didn't do any harm to me. He was actually, he befriended me and was very nice. He was actually my father's pastor or boss, and he always was friendly and always talked to me. And his daughter was someone that I thought, you know, you have childhood sweethearts, you know, that was that whole thing. And so he was someone who was trying to, I guess, help me to find my way in terms of ministry, and I didn't understand it. And so, no, he wasn't anyone. When I went to cemetery, it was like, okay, I had peace with that whole thing. But in terms of the anger with my father was still living. He lived on for quite a while. And the anger, the hate, the murder, because in that time of being married all those years, I wouldn't allow him to my house for a long time. That was still that whole time when I didn't understand how that repression. And I hated him. I didn't know why I hated him. I hated my brother. I didn't know why I hated him. Excuse me. But I had this hate there. And when the Lord started dealing with me, and through this process of time, and I forgave them, and once I forgave them, God took that anger, took that hate, took that murdering spirit away from me. Because I released all that. Yeah, I wanted to get revenge, and that's how the Lord did it. He just he brought the healing, because otherwise I would to this day still be trying to figure out. I've even gone to the point to the nth degree of trying to reconcile with my brother. I've done everything that I know to do, and all the different suggestions of people that have said, you know, you need to get reconciled, and the straw that broke the camel's back, we sent my brother and my wife, we sent out Christmas cards typically every year.
I am so sorry. I'm sorry about that. That's the devil. I accidentally hit the button and disconnected you. I'm sorry.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. And so I'm not sure what all you missed or didn't hear, but in terms of the Father, my Father, God, remove that anger, remove that hate from my father and my brother. And I, because I didn't know why I hated him for so long, but it's not until the breakthrough came that I started to understand why all this hatred, why all this venom was in me, and all this stuff. And then when I forgave him, and released all that stuff, the Lord gave me peace, and I have it today, and that's what this book is about. The writing was to write it out, to get it out, and to be able to help others. Because it's like, well, why in the world would I go all my life, and now here I am, you know, available to help. This is, I believe this is my mission. And I believe God allowed me to go through all that stuff that I went through with my father being a Pentecostal pastor. And my brother eventually, you know, he was a teenager when he was doing what he was doing. You know, he was having sex with me as well. But he then also became a pastor. And God took all that out and transformed me.
Wow. Dr. Du.
Yes.
My chat room is full. So if you could go ahead and put your book out there on the chat room, because I have more guests today in my chat room that I've had since I've been on the air. And while you're doing that, I wanted to ask you, one of the things I talk about all the time in my closing is forgiveness. So I definitely want to ask you, I don't want to assume, have you forgiven?
Oh, yeah, that's the only way I could have written a book like this. And matter of fact, I've done all the forgiveness, and I teach that in all of my teaching. But in the book itself, I have one chapter where I actually ask for forgiveness of my family, and I forgive them because many of them, because of my being gifted as I was, another wrinkle that I didn't understand as a young child. I always knew stuff that nobody else knew, and I could tell folks stuff, and it made them mad. I forgive my family for how they treated me. And, you know, so I have a whole chapter, and I deal with that, and that's very important. Forgiveness is really the crux and the key. If anybody wants to really be free of this and not walk in the shame and the embarrassment, and particularly men, because they say we're not supposed to cry. Well, obviously we're not supposed to cry. We're not supposed to let people know that we have been raped, we've been molested, we have been abused, you know, according to society. But that's all a setup by the devil to basically cause more men to commit suicide, cause more men to do all the stuff they do. And there are many who don't go this way as I've gone, and they become what they were. So they were abused, so they abuse. They have domestic violence, and so they act out on their spouses and their wives and their girlfriends and whoever.
That's right. That is absolutely right. That's right. And I think that was one of my biggest challenges when my children was born. Before they were born, one of my fears, and that's exactly what it was a fear, was I didn't want to have children because I was so afraid that I was going to do the same thing that was done to me, and I didn't know how to figure out how to not do that, if you will. And once I realized it was a conscious decision and that I needed to actually do something, forgive, you know, then I was able to make sure that certainly was not going to be something that I passed down to my children. And, you know, I hear you talk about some of what I call medicating the pain. when we are, you know, I heard you talk about, you know, the alcohol, the abuse, the promiscuous activity. And those are some of the things that we do as, you know, as survivors to medicate the pain when we don't know what to do, you know, to make ourselves feel better, or if because we just don't understand what's going on with us. And until we become aware of what we're doing and that the things that we do to self-medicate is more destructive than anything, then we can't move forward. I thank you so much. I do have a caller, and I wanted to at least give them the opportunity to either ask a question or to make a comment if you had a moment to do that.
Well, I'm fine. I'm busy right here with you. So I'm
yes,
fine.
Sir. But
one of the things
that
I I think one of the things based on all of what I've been through, I've learned how to just stay always active, stay busy. So that keeps me out of trouble.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
And one of the things I did want to just kind of piggyback on is that, you know, like you said, it does take it takes time. And I was talking to someone, seemed like it was just last week, and maybe it's me, but one of the things that makes me so upset is this person was talking about two old ladies who were having a conversation, and I guess the old, they were like up in the age, like late 80s, early 90s, and you know they were having their little conversation, and one of the old ladies was saying, you know, to the other old lady, oh how she missed her husband, da 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 da, and so the other lady says, oh just get over it, and I just got so indignant in my spirit because you hear people tell you that all the time, well, just get over it. And I explained to this person that you don't just get over it. It is a process.
That
so
is one of the most disgusting comments. One of the most disgusting comments anyone can make. It's ignorant. It's stupid. It is idiotic. And that is one of the many problems in the black community, especially, that we have secrets, that people always want to whisper about stuff. They don't want to deal with it. They're afraid to go to a doctor, afraid to go to a psychiatrist, afraid to talk to somebody. And that's why our numbers are so high in so many areas. Because, like those five books that said we were animals, well, in a lot of cases, we act like animals. And I fault because the black community has been so heavily into the church. I fault ministers for not really doing their job, and they control the community with foolishness rather than bringing intelligent conversation to our communities and to our families. They've continued the mess by basically raping and pilfering black people, these mega churches and little churches and all kind of storefronts, just taking money and not doing what they really are called to do. Because the Bible deals with all of these areas in a very loving, or can be loving if you teach it in a loving way, manner. And so I heard a prominent bishop used to say that, and then of course he went and died. But I tell you, I'm so glad to not hear him get up and say that to these organization of 6 million people. But
wow.
You know,
yes,
and
is.
That's abuse. That is abuse from the pulpit. And these men and these women need to be called into task for their foolishness, I think. And that's part of my assignment, to go after wherever I can to expose, to confront, to reveal truth. And, that was, when you hear that statement, I just want to go over the pulpit and grab him by the collar and say, shut up.
This person, and I was glad for them that they were on the phone. And I actually told them that. I said, you know what? I said, that is the most ignorant statement that you can make to anyone, I said, and let me just be the first to tell you, don't do that. I said, because it shows your ignorance. They may have gotten upset with me, but I didn't even care. To my insides, I'm like, obviously you're speaking out of ignorance because you have no idea what that woman went through with her husband. You know, how you just tell someone to get over it, and it doesn't even matter whether, maybe her husband beat her. But if they were separated and her husband died and she never got a chance to have closure, then, yes, she gonna talk about her husband every day because you don't know. It could be guilt there. It could be whatever that situation is. But don't tell anybody to just get over it. I just wanted to choke him. Oh, I wanted to choke him. But I wanted to get off that soapbox. I wanted to open up the line and just to see if someone has a comment or a question. And I just want to say, Dr. Doom, I thank you for sharing, and you encourage me to do this along with others, but from a different perspective, you know. And, you know, I'm like, wow, if he can do it, I can do it too, you know, because truly, like you said, it just needs to be exposed, and we just need to put the light on it, you know, shine the light on it, not let it be up underneath the shade tree any longer. It has got to be talked about because communication brings about change. And when we talk about it, then we can begin to do the thing and make people aware so that they don't turn their head, so that they can speak up. Let's call. Thank you for calling. Caller 7437. You're on the air. This is Victory Against All Odds. You got a comment or question?
Good afternoon, Evangelist Benton. Dr. Drew, I am enjoying the headway that's being made throughout the U.S. here and probably in some of the international waters as well. I think that I'm persuaded that it is the time now to really just get going and get moving. I can't go into detail with my situation, but I share in with Dr. Drew, being an overcomer of incest and child abuse, and growing up in the church, and singing in the choir, and leading songs, and people seeing the deacons and different ones seeing the scars on my arms and legs, and people just looking the other way. So, yes, it's time to ring the bell. It's time to say, let's get moving. Don't tell people just to get over it, because you prolong the healing, you prolong the exposure, and then you prolong generation after generation getting set free. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
Well,
so
you
persuaded.
Add to the pain. You really add to the pain when you say get over it, because it's as if you don't care. And it's just, you
absolutely
have insensitivity. And I think of the many women like yourself, many pastors' wives especially, who've gone to church, they've been beat up by the pastor, physically beat up, and the different pastors' wives would tell, well, I told my wife this when she was a young pastor's wife with her first husband. They told her, don't tell anybody that he's beating you. Don't tell anyone that he's screwing some young girls in your bed. Don't tell anybody that he's abusive and he beat you so bad that you lost a child. Don't tell anybody that this man's a preacher. And he gets up and he hollers and moans and clowns, you know. And see, that has to stop. And it's still going on in America. It has to stop with foolishness. And I'm here to root out wherever God will allow me to go all of that and ignorance. Because they're not edifying anybody but the devil. They're glorifying the devil. The devil sit back laughing. See, look at them, clowning. Think they're on the way to heaven. They'll be right there with me in hell.
That's
because
right.
1 Corinthians 6:9 clearly, clearly lets us know, and throughout the Word, that God is against abuse, period.
He hates it, that's right.
He hates it. It's an abomination. It's a detestable sin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just, you know, I'm just thankful that we have this gateway, we have this this medium where we can share, we can talk, and I'll, you know, join forces with you in whatever capacity that God makes available for us. And I do have plans and have in draft my book, one of many that will come out. And this is not to, you know, people think that when you want to write to just say some things, that you just want to just put your news out there. That's not what it's about. The enemy has been exposed, and his payback is people being aware. This, we can speak for those who took it to the grave. My sister died of AIDS in the street, like a, you know, like an animal. She took her story to the grave. So I'm going to, that book, my book will go out, the games people play, you know, to speak for her and to speak for others. So I commend you. I love you. And I honor those. It reminds me of a scripture. You know, the Bible says when you call good evil and evil good, evil will never leave your house. And when you are, when you are saying get over it, when you're telling people don't tell anybody, this is the position that you are setting yourself up for. So, I join forces with you to cry aloud and spare not. Know that I love you, and I'll, you know, prayerfully continue to pray for you in the ministry and those of us who are part of this remnant, part of this army, who is saying enough is enough. It's time to expose the enemy. And then, of course, the pay is the healing. It's the unity and the fellowship. So it's a wonderful thing, and I just thank you for standing, Evangelist Benton, Dr. Dew, I thank you for standing. I love you for standing. I join forces with you in standing. You know, had I not stood, then I would not walk in my calling as an apostle called by grace. So I join you in standing today. And I'll continue to stand. And by God's grace, He'll continue to empower us and to love, because this is a part of loving, is sharing and facing and dealing with those situations and circumstances. Thank you.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Thank you, and God bless. Amen.
Dr. Dew, I know you have mentioned your book, but if you can, I know you have another book, Don't Say a Word About This, Exposing and Confronting Sexual Perversion. And for those that are listening, you can go to his website, www.drdue.com. That's drdue.com. Dr. Dew, where in the bookstores or can my listeners find your book?
All right, if they choose not to go to, because when you write books today, you end up having to do all the marketing, contrary to what it used to be 100 years ago. So if they would go to my website, incestinblackamerica.com, that it's appreciated, or to drdew.com. But if you choose not to go to my website, that's fine. Go to Amazon.com or to Barnes and Nobles, and you can get either the paperback book or the ebook. They're both available. And the ebook, a lot of people are buying the ebook. I've got people calling saying, I'm almost finished. And it's like, wow. So I know that, and it's a small book. It's not, this second book is not a long book, it's 157 pages, whereas the first book was almost 300. And so it's a small book. My next book won't be very big either. They're saying smaller bite size may have a great impact, but don't give so much in one time. So we're making the books a little smaller because it's a lot to digest, So Amazon.com, it's there, or Barnes & Noble. are those are the two places where you can find it. It's not actually in any bookstores. That's another misnomer in the publishing industry. If you have a vanity, if you're a famous person and you have a vanity press, then you can go with distribution. But those of us that are not famous, in the world's view, we have to do it this way. And so this maintains we don't have a lot of inventory that's just out there. Because if you don't, people don't know, they're not going to buy. And if they do know, then maybe they will buy. But until we get the story out, it's one of those situations. So thank you for asking. And, it's there. Like I said, the ones that are reading it on the ebook, they seem to be pretty happy. I was a little concerned because, again, I'm a technical person and having a technical background, I really like things. My first book won a literary award for excellence, and I was the second book I was concerned about it because, just different. But here it is.
Yeah. All right.
Incest in Black America. Thank you for asking me to be on your program, and I pray that the other gentleman will be found and we'll be able to hear his story and give him support and get him going. I believe that for there to be a conference, our goal is to, if we could next year, to be in major cities all across in what I call a prophetic healing time where we will go. And we have some cities already scheduled. So it'd be neat to bring as many of those who are victors like yourself and others with us. And then people can actually see us there. We'll sign the books, minister to them. People will be set free. It's not a hard thing. I see some guests in the chat room still. We're not talking about 25 Hail Marys or 1,000 Hail Marys and run around the track field. No, it's a matter of allowing your heart to be transformed and your mind to be changed. And it can happen in just a moment. Now, the process of healing, though, does take time as you grow through it. But the actual event is just the same as really receiving Christ. You've got to get it in your heart. You got to speak it out of your mouth, get it in your heart, speak out of your mouth, and allow him to enter, and the transformation takes place. Yeah, it's amazing, because I tell you, folks, they couldn't believe when they see me. I know you wanted to kill that man, and people knew I wanted to kill my dad. I had plots made, and to see it now, it's like, wow, you're not the same guy. No, I'm not. The other thing, Evangelist Benton, through all of that, I had received Christ. I was saved. I had been baptized at the age of 11, got the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues, but I was still promiscuous. I was still messed up. My flesh was still out of control.
Yeah.
So when I finally surrendered, it was a wonderful transformation.
Yeah, it is.
So thank you again. Thank you much.
You're welcome. It is a wonderful transformation. I remember being in college myself and, trying to figure out how to medicate my pain because I hadn't revealed my secret yet in college. And I remember for a minute, trying to, or I guess they say testing the waters, because Pandora's box had been open, but it made me so sick. I couldn't do it. I tried, so I did, call myself trying to play around a little bit, but I just couldn't do it. And so that was a short-lived life. But just, like you said, just dealing with the depression that goes with it and trying to commit suicide and popping pills to make the pain go away. And I just remember more than anything, I was so sick. I was so sick to the point that I got an ulcer and I was a little bitty thing to begin with. And I only weighed 110 pounds and had the nerve to 10 more pounds because I couldn't eat anything, and it was because of that locked-in secret I had internalized it. And so I got an ulcer. So really I had a hole in my esophagus, and so whatever I eat, you know, the acid was just eating the inside of my, the inside lining of my stomach and my esophagus. So anything that I ate was coming right back out because it was just, it was no place for it to go but out. And just, they had a hard time trying to figure out what was wrong. And so, you know, I thank God for deliverance because it is, like you said, it's a process. I had already received Christ as a child because it was He who brought me out. It was He who delivered me. It was Him who sustained me. It was Him who kept my mind, kept me from going crazy. I could have been institutionalized. I could not be here. So I thank God for all that He has done. I thank God for you, Dr. Du. I thank God for Apostle Robinson, who takes the time to encourage me, and just be a frontline soldier, you know, out there as well. And I thank my listeners for listening. I do apologize again for changing the schedule, if you will. But, you know, I don't believe in accidents or happenstance. You know, there's divine reasoning, and I think this was needed. It was needed to be heard. It was needed to be said. I thank you for taking your time out, for changing your schedule, or whatever it is that you needed to do to be with me today. I don't take it lightly at all. And just in closing, can you give my listeners information that so that they can contact you via Facebook or email? What information do they need in order to contact you if they were interested in speaking with you?
Real simple. I'm going to give my email, anybody that really wants to talk to me, because I'm on the air. I'm putting right now in the chat room for those to know. With your permission, I'll be on Wednesday. Excuse me, I have a cough this morning. Wednesday, with my program, Say a Word About This. And I'll be on Blog Talk Radio, and it'll be open line. We're going to deal with sex in the Mormon Church, and it'll take it from 1848 through 1891. But if you want to contact me, simply come to Lauren. Excuse me, this morning. We think it's my allergy. I'm going to see the doctor tomorrow to see why I'm coughing. So, but anyway, Lauren, Loren. At drdue.com. So it's Lauren at drdue.com. Real simple.
Okay.
And if you can't find that, you go on the web to Google, just Google Dr. Du, and you'll see all kind of places. And my phone number shows up there, my email. I'm very open because I know that there's so many that have come anonymously, privately, because of the embarrassment. But God removed all that from me, thank heavens.
Yeah.
And so, feel free to call me if you would like, and I'll be glad to share whatever I can with you about all of what I have been through. The program is 1 p.m. on Wednesday.
Yes. That is important because there are so many, especially males, who feel like they're less of a man, or it makes them less of a man if they don't confess, you know, what really is going on with them. And we just need to gird them up and hold their up and encourage them, let them know that it doesn't make you less of a man. It makes you better because you're now able to face that thing that has you locked down in your head, in your mind, you know, and you're no longer a prisoner. You're no longer stuck on Stuck Street, you know, and you're no longer on Unmovable Boulevard, you know. So, you know, of anybody that's listening and you just need to come clean, you need to be freed, you know, I encourage you, as a male, especially, to another male to contact Dr. Du. You're more than happy, you know, more than welcome as well to contact me at odds_against you, the letter U, at yahoo.com. All this is confidential. We don't give names unless you want to reveal them. But if you're coming in confidence, it will be Dr. Du. Again, his email address is Lauren, Loren, at drdue.com. Please contact him, and he will speak with you and pray with you and do whatever it is that you need for him to do, listen to you. We also have Apostle Robinson, another co-laborer in the gospel, awesome, awesome woman of God, who is available, I'm pretty sure. Please thank you for listening, and thank you again, Dr. Du, for joining me. And thank again my listeners. Thank you, Apostle Robinson, and all those who are listening that may not necessarily be in queue. I do have 18 minutes left, so if you are out there listening and you do have a question, or if you need salvation, I'm opening that up to you today. If you need to talk, if you need a question answered, please press 1. We will not give names. I'll just call the last 4 digits of your number, and we can take it from there. If not, I'm going to close, and you all have a wonderful day. Thank you again, Dr. Du. I appreciate you, and thank you again for your support. And you just encouraged me. I need to get writing real soon, because 2012 will be here before you know it.
And that writing will be such a joy for you. It will be pain, but also joy. And I believe the Lord to allow the joy to overshadow the pain, and that all be released in a moment of hope and glory that he'll bring through your writing to those that you are assigned to. You have an assignment. So God bless you, and look forward to you joining us later this week in one of our many programs. All right?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you much.
God bless. Uh-huh.
God bless. That was awesome. Thanking Dr. Du for joining us today. As I often say all the time, we all have had some hard challenges in life. But I want everyone to know who is listening under the sound of my voice, you do not have to hide your pain. It is possible to walk in freedom and deliverance of sexual abuse, incest, sexual perversion, depression, suicide, because all of those things come with sexual abuse, child abuse, substance abuse. Against all odds, you can walk in victory on today. You too can overcome all the odds that were against you, every obstacle that comes to try to block you and to keep you bound. Don't be bound any longer. I am here to help you walk in total victory. Stay tuned next week. What's next week? Actually, I will not be on the air next week, so it'll be 2 weeks from now. But please join me the next time as we gain understanding of our physical and emotional challenges that you're facing for yourself and or your loved ones, your friends, your family, your neighbors, your classmate, your coworker, your church member. Together, we can learn powerful strategic weapons to combat the unseemly, insurmountable obstacles that life can bring and begin the process of healing, and most importantly, forgiving. Again, my email address is odds_against_U@yahoo.com. Thank you for listening. You all have a wonderful and great day.
Thank you. did not wait for me to draw nigh to you, but you clothe yourself in frail humanity. You did not wait for me to cry out to you, but you let me hear your voice calling me.
All you gotta do is ask him to forgive you for all of your sins. why he kept. He came for you. He came to seek and save you. Why don't you accept?
Hallelujah. Have a blessed one, everyone. Great day. Have a great day.